Oh, aren't you thankful for that old, rugged cross? Many times here in America, when we think about the cross, we think of this golden thing hanging around necks. And I don't have a problem with a cross on a necklace, but I think sometimes we get this faulty idea of what a cross really was. But it truly was an old, rugged piece of wood, a couple pieces of wood put together that it wasn't pleasant to be on. Not only for the aspect of being nailed to it, fastened to it, but the rugged aspect. They didn't take sandpaper and sand it. You know, we think about Jesus and his earthly father, Joseph. What was he? Carpenter. And he knew how to build stuff. And I think there's the point of even building it smoothly without that. And yet Jesus, when he's hanging on that cross, wasn't hanging on a smooth cross. Just the aspect of what it was just really causes us to stop and ponder what love he has for us. And aren't you thankful for that as we ponder through that aspect. Tonight in 1 John, we're going to talk about a single what? Focus. Okay, excellent. A single focus. And we think about that, man, we can look at that in so many different aspects of life, but a single focus. When we say the name Arnold Palmer, what does that mean to you? Okay, at least some of you said nothing. Okay, golf, right? And yes, some of us, he was before our time, and we go through and understand all that aspect. But Arnold Palmer, we think about golf. And man, he had some big wins, and he had some pretty bad losses. But he's known for his good things, the wins that he had. But it's interesting, in 1961, the final hole of the Masters Tournament, he's getting ready there, and really, he's ahead. He's or behind, however you want to call it that in golf, right? He's got the lower score, and he's doing good, and he's just getting set and ready there. In one-stroke lead, he just hit a good tee shot, just getting ready there, and he sees one of his friends on the sidelines, and his friend beckons him over, and he shakes his hand and says, "Congratulations on this win." And as soon as Arnold Palmer walked away, he realized he lost his focus. And he actually did not end up winning. He ended up getting a couple more bad shots, and he just ended up losing that. Why? Because he lost his focus. He said, you don't forget a mistake like that. You just learn from it and become determined that you'll never do it again. And as we go through life, there are so many different things that want to sidetrack us, to take our focus. Things that in and of themselves aren't necessarily bad, but that we need to be very careful what our focus is on. You ever been driving somewhere before GPS time, right? And maybe you had a printed off MapQuest, or maybe you were just using an atlas. And man, you're just going along and you're enjoying the music you're listening to, or the preaching you're listening to, or just the conversation you're having with the person sitting next to you. And all of a sudden you realize, where are we? And you realize you missed a turn somewhere because you lost your focus. Man, I get nervous of that. And it's just like, man, am I going to get that right road? Or what's? We think about that single focus when we're doing a task. Well, as we think about life, you and I need to have a single focus. And it doesn't matter if you're 6 or if you're 60. You need to have a single focus. You know, the kids in our church family can have a single focus just like us, can't they? In fact, they should. They should be learning from us, modeling what that single focus looks like. Now, that doesn't mean we can't do other things. We all have things we have to do, responsibilities of life, work or projects or other things that have to get done. But our single focus in all of that should be loving God. We're saying that there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. It's not just the name of Jesus, but really that name of Jesus is special. His name is unlike any other name. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. That should be the single focus in our lives. Whether it's your responsibilities of doing school, doing laundry, doing dishes, doing whatever else it may be around the house, But we always need to have that single focus of loving God. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 15, 16, and 17 tonight. And we see the reality of the single focus in life. But before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. I thank You for this opportunity that we have to open up Your Word. Would You help each of us the rest of today to have a single focus? God, there will be things that come our way that our bodies will be so easily distracted with, but God, we want to have a single focus of loving You. As we go into this week and different things that will happen, will You help us to have a single focus on You? We're thankful for the power and the blood that makes it possible. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 John is where we'll be. Turn back to Matthew chapter 6 real quick. Matthew chapter 6. The most common verse that people know in Matthew 6, or that most people would be aware of, is verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." But I want us to go back up a little bit before we get to that and see really this idea of single focus. Look at verse 19, Matthew 6, verse 19. Follow along as I read. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." So is Jesus Christ teaching there, it's not good to have stuff? Well, of course not. We see that throughout the other parts of the Scripture, that He gives us stuff, and even to enjoy. He gave the children of Israel, as we talked about it this morning, land, so that they could what? Enjoy it and offer God's glory. But in the midst of enjoying the stuff of life that God's given us, we've got to have the single focus of loving God, not letting that stuff get in the way. How many of you let that stuff ever get in your way? I do. And man, I get so convicted, and it's like, man, I've got to love God more. I've got to have that soul focus on Him. Matthew 6, verse 19 said that, but then verse 20 says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your" what? "Treasure is, there will your heart be also." And thinking about that single focus, my treasure. How many of you could probably tell us right now what one thing Megan thinks about every day? Okay, right? I mean, because that's her treasure that God has given her, right? And she's excited about Dustin. I mean, we think about that, and we all remember those stages, right? And I hope you still think about your spouse that way, that treasure that God's given you. But where your treasure is, and Paul talks about that even in other aspects with the man married and his wife. Man, you've got a treasure, but you've got to have a focus there. You can't just completely ignore your spouse and say, man, I'm living for God. But there's a focus on that treasure. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He goes on, and look what he talks about. An eye. And when we think of the word focus, it often requires an eye. Right? We think of the eye, and that the lens of the eye focuses in. Well, many of us who wear glasses, they help us to focus, whether it be on something far or something near. But verse 2 says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye is single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." There's a single focus that needs to be there. Okay, so you can have stuff, but you can't serve it and have that focus on that, or you won't have a focus on God. We could continue on down, but we'll skip down to verse 33, and if you know it, go ahead and say it along with me. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these shall be added unto you." So Jesus isn't saying it's not good to have things. You need things because you live in the world. I mean, just practically speaking. We need clothes. We need food. We need all sorts of things because God has put us in the world. But we've got to have a single focus on God through all of that and not let this stuff distract us or blur that focus on God. So 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, we see John is teaching this church about the single focus. Verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And really we see this whole idea of a single focus. Number one, focus on one love. focus on one love. We could have multiple love, if you will, between God and the world. Sadly, you see people, even with their relationships, multiple loves, and it's like, whoa, wait a second. God has made one man for one woman for one life. And we see the biblical teaching on that. But we go through this and we see you can love the world. God has given you the freedom and the choice to love the world, hasn't He? Yes. And we can love it. God has given us stuff. We all have stuff. And because we have tastes and interests and desires, we have favorite stuff. Your hobby. And you have a certain thing you really enjoy doing. Your color. Maybe there's a color that you enjoy wearing or buying or looking at or what, all sorts of different aspects of that. You've got some favorite stuff. Maybe it's a favorite food, right? Man, I enjoy. I mean, before church tonight, we had some granola bar bites, we call them that, and just oats with peanut butter and honey and chocolate chips. And man, that is good. And it's healthy. I mean, just so many good things with that. But we have favorite things. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll let our favorite stuff get in the way of our one love for God. And when this is talking about the world, it's not necessarily talking about the green grass and all this stuff, though that stuff can get in the way of our love for God. Reminded in Romans that some worship the creation rather than the Creator. But probably for most of us in here, we'd say, well, that's not me, man. I know God made this, and it's beautiful, but wow. You know, when I see the universe, and I enjoy documentaries about space and some of these other things, and it's like, wow, God, you are so awesome. Those are the thoughts that come to my mind. It's like, wow, they bring me to glory in God. So when we're talking about the world, we're not necessarily talking about the universe and the earth, but really an invisible spiritual system opposed to God. And when we think about that, An invisible spiritual system opposed to God. That doesn't necessarily simply mean it must be a demon or demonic forces. Though demonic forces are real. But it's not the reality that that is necessarily what he's talking about. Because as believers, would we love the demonic forces? No. I mean, okay. So we think about the world. The philosophy of the world that is opposed to God. Is there a philosophy of our world opposed to God? Yes. Is there a philosophy in the United States of America that's pretty dominant, that's opposed to God? Yes. And so what are we going to love more? Well, I just believe you can just love whoever you want because that's between you and that person. Well, wait a second. That's a philosophy because so many people say, well, homosexuality is just a part of our culture now. Well, wait a second. What is God's word? Am I going to love the philosophy of the world or am I going to love God? God gives us a choice. Focus on one love. You can love the world. But the exciting thing is you can love God. He says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If we focus so much on loving the world, it distracts us from loving God. Haven't we seen that in our own lives? It's like, oh, why did I get caught up in that? That wasn't necessarily even wrong. But when I got caught up in it and focused away from God on that, that's when it becomes wrong. And we see the reality of that. He says, man, you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can love God. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So where is our affection? Where is our love? There's a song, and I'll refer to it a little later here, but with eternity's values in view. Maybe some of you have heard that. With eternity's values in view, Lord, with eternity's values in view, may I do each day's work for Jesus. With eternity's values in view. When we live life, tomorrow, Monday comes. I shouldn't live with tomorrow's focus, but with eternity's values. The values of eternity, the values of heaven, God, because I need to set my affection on things above. When I love the world, I'm not loving the Father like I should. I'm not loving God. Being controlled by His love, being constrained by His love. The love of Christ constraineth me, Paul says. So God gives us the opportunity to choose what we're going to love. And it's interesting, we have that choice every day. But it's even more interesting, we have that choice every moment. You know, we can get up and you can get up and you can spend time with God and, man, God, help me today to just to focus on you and take your strength. And man, you can see times we had testimonies earlier tonight of power in the blood and what God has done. But man, 10 minutes later, we can turn around and, whoa, what just happened? I got distracted from my focus on God. And many times, as James reminds us, it's because my lust, those desires that I have, draw me away. I'm drawn away of my own lust and enticed, James says. So I need to have a single focus, a focus on one love. I can love God, I can love the world, but I can't do both well. Because the one gets in the way of the other. Matthew, we looked at that. Matthew was talking about, Jesus was talking about that in the book of Matthew. So, focus on one love. Number two, you can focus on one value system. I'm just saying that song with eternity's values in view. There's one value system you can live for. The world's or God's. And we see that. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Here we see this idea that there's one value system you can focus on. Yours, the world's, or God's. And what are we going to do? Again, it's a daily choice. It's a moment-by-moment choice. Yielding to God makes the difference. Spending time with Him in His Word. Excuse me. Spending time with Him in His Word makes the difference. Ben, could you grab me some water? I would appreciate that. Focusing on one value system. And it's interesting to think about that is verse 15 talks about these different things that are in there. Or verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Each one of these can be dangerous at a different time in life. We think about the different aspects of that. Because they don't all hit us at the same time. But at a different time of life. It could be the different time of each day. And sometimes multiple of them can be together. But each one is dangerous in their own way. Focus on one value system. And when we look at verse 16, really the value system that we see is of the world's. We're warned against that. Because what makes the difference? We see the lust of the flesh. We see the lust of the eyes. We see the pride of life. And what makes us, that's one value system. What is the other value system, according to this passage? Loving God. That's the complete opposite. If we love God, it'll take care of those things. Because our one focus will be on God. One focus on love. That focus on one love, on God, will take care of those things. But we can focus on one value system, the lust of the flesh. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Lust that has its origin in our flesh. Felt with the flesh. It makes me feel good. Well, then I'm going to do it. Then that means I'm okay. And so we see the reality that it can't just be what the flesh wants to do. The word lust in and of itself means desire. Often when we think of the word lust, do we think of a good meaning or a bad meaning? We think of bad, just the way it has come to be in our nation and in our language. But the word lust basically means desire. We can have strong desires to do what's right. That's not sinful. We can have strong desires to do that which is wrong. In this case, he's talking about the lust of the flesh. Lust that has its origin in the flesh. Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17. Turn there, if you will. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That one focus again is God. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And we can continue on through the passage, But the reality is, we shouldn't lust those things that just please the flesh. Again, there's nothing wrong with enjoying stuff. We looked at that this morning in Joshua when we talked about the half-tribe of Manasseh and we talked about the other, the Gadites and the Reubenites, and we looked at them. And God had given them the land on the east side of Jordan. And in Joshua 1, what does he say? Go back to the land and enjoy it. Again, there's nothing wrong with enjoying stuff. The hobby you have, enjoy it. God has given you that for enjoyment. But through that He'd be glorified. And through that you will love Him. He's given us different hobbies and things to have different impacts on different people in different places and in different ways. But not to lust for those things that simply make me feel good. Because that only lasts so long and I have to go bigger and better next time, don't I? And continue on and continue. And that doesn't happen. Then we see the lust of the eyes. Back to 1 John chapter 2. And the lust of the eyes. And seeing the reality that the lust that has its origin in the sight. Instead of being felt with the flesh, it's felt with the eyes. You can think of this even as covetousness. Oh, I want that. Wow, look at that car. Or wow, look at that rolling pin. I don't know. Or wow, whatever it may be, we can lust for all sorts of stuff because, man, my eyes say that is good. We get that and it's like, oh, that looks good, but then it just wears off and we've got to move on and continue on to something better and stronger and whatever else it may be. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, one of these aspects of the lust of the eyes that Jesus Christ talks about. Matthew 5, verse 28. Sermon on the Mount. He says in verse 28. Actually, let's start in verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. The lust of the eyes. Thank you so much, Ben. Appreciate that. Sorry, something was in my throat there. So, the lust of the eyes. We think of that with pornography. And we think of that with what we look at. Is it honoring to God or is it something I'm simply lusting for? But not simply in that aspect. Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. When we think of the lust of the eyes. Luke 12. Verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance. There's that word again, inheritance, right? That he divide the inheritance with me. I want what's coming to me now. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You ever seen that bumper sticker? He who dies with the most toys wins. Well, he who dies with the most toys still dies. I mean, we think about the reality of that. You don't see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Because you don't take it with you. People can try. It's kind of like the wife who was told, Man, when I die, put all my money in the coffin with me. So her husband passes away and everybody's, you know, weeping and crying, and here she drops an envelope in there right at the end, and everybody's like, well, why did you do that? Well, I wrote a check just like he wanted, right? So you think about, you don't take stuff with you. The lust of the eyes, man, we can covet all sorts of stuff, but it's not going to last. We need to have a focus on one value system, God's value system, not the value system of the world. You got to have more. You got to have more. It's got to please the flesh. It's got to make you feel good. Because that's not how we can live. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. And then we see back in 1 John chapter 2, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Pride of life, lust that wants honor or applause. Attaboy. And there's nothing wrong with someone saying, man, you did a good job at that. I think one neat response you can do is praise the Lord. Again, it's His power. We talked about serving. Would you do service for Jesus your King? How do we do it? It's His power. It's not by my own strength. It's not for my own glory. But it's for His power, for His glory, through His strength. So there's nothing wrong with people acknowledging you've done something well for God, is there? It's not bad to go up and tell someone, man, I appreciate you serving in this aspect. It's always a blessing to come to a clean church. I appreciate you working with the kids in this aspect because, one, it makes less distractions during the morning service. But because it helps our kids, too, grow in the Lord. I appreciate you doing this and serving. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it's wrong is when that's why we're doing it. I just want that applause from men. Jesus says, well, you already have your reward. Luke 19. Back to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 19, verse 9. And man, we could read so much in here, and we won't do that. I encourage you to go back and read through this passage a little later. But Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And there's that, hey, man, I'm not going to listen to anybody. We can go through that or whatever it may be. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And we could continue reading down through here. The purpose of this wasn't so that they could earn this money for themselves. Look how good I've done. But then there's given more responsibility. When you're given responsibility by God, it's not simply so you can look good before others, but so you can serve God in other areas, being faithful in the little and then being faithful in the greater. And then being faithful in the greater. And continue. I mean, that's what life... Again, it's not to see, well, how high can I work up the Christian ladder in life? But God, would you use me in a way that only you could? That doesn't mean that everybody's going to know us or anybody's going to know us. But God watches how we serve, and that it's not with the pride of life. So focus on one value system. It could be the world's or it could be God's. But again, as we go back to 1 John 2, verse 16, he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. If we have that focus on that one love of the Father, that takes care of this value system. And then number 3, focus on one time frame. We can focus on the here and the now, here on earth, or we can focus on eternity. Now some people say you can be too eternally focused to be good here on earth. I don't know about that. Because the more we get focused on God, the more we get burdened for God's plan to be accomplished on earth. Because isn't God focused on earth? With that song I sang earlier, with eternity's values in view, Lord. Eternity is all about God. But that's why Jesus Christ came down to this earth in our time frame, so that we could glorify Him, that He could save us, forgive us. I mean, think about it. Genesis 1:1 says, in the what? Right there. So that means that was the beginning of what? Time. God is outside of time, and we can't understand that. I can't understand. I mean, that doesn't make sense. Get rid of time. Now, there are some cultures who their time doesn't really matter to them. I mean, they say something starts at 7 o'clock. They might be there by 8:30. I mean, and missionaries talk about that it takes them forever to get beyond the American culture because of time and get into some of that. But when we think about time in the one sense, God is way outside of even that time. eternity. Man, I was listening to a message last night and thinking about eternities. The preacher was sharing just some reality. When we're there for, you know, what's 20 years? We think of, man, it's been forever. What's 80 years? What's 100 years? I mean, in our mind, what's 2 million years compared to eternity? I mean, isn't that mind-boggling? So we can live for one time. Focus on one time frame. We can focus on the here and the now because it seems like it's forever. Man, I've got a lot of years left ahead of me in human understanding. And focus on that time and all I can do and get. Or I can focus on eternity. In verse number 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You can focus on the here and the now, but it's not worth it. Because remember, we aren't simply here and now creatures. God has made us in his own what? Image. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. He's made us to go on outside of what we call life on earth. Yes, we've had a beginning. And that's why we are opposed to abortion, one of the reasons. Because life begins at conception. There's a beginning. But when we think of death, death is ultimately simply a separation. Because there's eternal death, which means you don't really cease to exist. It's separation from God forever in a terrible place called hell. But we're eternal beings. I can live for the here and the now, or I can live for God in the future with eternity's values in view. Romans chapter 12, real quick. Romans chapter 12. Some of you may be familiar with this passage. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What, again, there's the word therefore. When we see that word, it gives us some ideas and reminders that there's a reason it's therefore. Right? We look back and say, why is it there? Well, we look back at the first part of Romans. First number of chapters in Romans really deals with salvation. You can be saved. I can be saved. Praise God. Therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this what? World. That philosophy, that way of life opposed to God. It may not necessarily even be a bunch of sin in your life. Now, yes, the philosophy of the world is opposed to God. And when we think about being conformed to this world, we think about, okay, someone who maybe is just constantly choosing this big sinful lifestyle, whatever it may be. But it's more than that. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are to live for eternity. We are not to live for the here and the now. And John was reminding them, you live for the here and the now, it will pass away. We think about even the word of the Lord, I believe it's in the Psalms, that the grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. So do we. So let's live for that. Let's live for that day that, man, I get to live in heaven someday? Based on nothing I've done? Man, it's my reasonable service to be conformed to God. And not to love the world, either the things that are in the world. Enjoy your stuff. In fact, before you go to bed tonight, will you thank God for your stuff? Think about the stuff you've been given. What an awesome God to give you stuff. But don't let that stuff distract you. Let's this week strive to have a single focus. Focus on one love. Focus on one value system. Focus on one time frame. Because when I'm focused on eternity and the values of heaven, it changes the way I live on Monday. It won't simply be about go to church and worship God on Sunday. I worship God on Monday because I'm living for eternity. And whether it's going to work and people see you smiling. Why? Because God makes a difference. Whether you're going to the grocery store and you get to talk with someone or hand out a tract. Why? Because
Because God makes a difference. Because we're focused on eternity, and yet we're living in Monday. So this week, let's have a single focus. And let's let God be glorified in our lives. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you've done, for who you are. Would you help us to be focused on you? God, there are so many things in life to distract us. So many lusts to be drawn away with. But we want to have a single focus on you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Josh, I need to be saved. I don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. And I need to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. You can't have that single focus unless you first know Jesus as Savior. If you're here and you need to be saved, would you speak to one of us before you leave? But you're here and you know Jesus as Savior. Maybe God's challenged you. There's just a single focus in your life and it's not been what it should be. Maybe you've been focusing on the world, not meaning to, but you just got distracted. And God has challenged your heart tonight. You say, Pastor Josh, would you pray for me? God has challenged me about my focus, that it would be on what I need to have, that one focus on Him. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Would you let God help you to have that single focus this week? Amen. In a second, we'll stand. Maybe it's something you want to come forward and cement that in your heart and your mind as you pray and commit that to the Lord. You can do it right there. You can do it wherever. But let's commit our lives to be focused on Him. Father, we thank you for your love. Would you help us this week to focus on you? In Jesus' name, amen. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's go ahead and stand. Let's commit to God and be focused wholly on Him. Is He all the world to you? Is He really that focus? Your joy, your awe? From day to day, every day? Because without Him, we would fall. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful He is your friend? You may be seated.